Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
You know, if you allow yourself to be surprised by Christ, great things can happen. In order to allow yourself to be surprised by Christ, you have to be able to expect anything to happen. Anything. So, let's take first of all the feast day today. In that epistle that you heard about all these Old Testament people, these old couples who were barren, they couldn't have any children, right? But when they allowed the living God to speak into their hearts and to accept that great miraculous possibility, great things happened. They bore children, like when they were unable to bear children. And leading to this feast today, the conception of St. John the Baptist. You know, his mother was pretty old. His mother was beyond the childbearing years, and she allowed herself to be surprised by Christ. And of course, the Theotokos, she was surprised, you know, she was a little girl, and she heard this word from the Archangel Gabriel, and she said, well, okay, be it unto me according to what you're saying, but I'm very surprised. Can you imagine? That's an understatement. Very surprised. And did not a great thing happen? Like the most amazing thing happened? God became man. The Savior of the world came into this race, this human race of ours. Allowing ourselves to be surprised by Christ. I wonder if we do it. Peter, here we are with Peter again, our beloved friend, who is always like causing a little bit of trouble. You know why? Because he likes to do everything himself. Does that sound familiar? I like to do everything myself. You know, I can do this. I have the energy to do this. I was just talking to somebody, probably about five somebodies this week, about this notion of allowing others to serve us, allowing God to serve us. Remember, he washed the apostles' feet. And Peter, again, said, no, no, Lord, don't wash my feet. And he said, well, then you don't have anything to do with me if you don't allow me to serve you. Do you hear that, Christian people? When you become a Christian, you become a servant of Christ. But the beautiful, like, marriage of God and man through Christ is the fact that he will serve you too. And he's just about to serve you momentarily here in this divine liturgy. But he wants to wash your feet as well. This is unbelievable. Peter said, no, I don't want you to wash my feet. He said, then you have nothing to do with me. You have no part in me. And then Peter says, no, okay, then my head, my hands, wash everything, Lord. You know, take everything. This is, you know, to be surprised by Christ, that he's going to serve us, that he's going to bring blessings into our life. If we just allow him, if we don't like say, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going always to do it myself. So as the great fisherman that he is, he goes out, he's in the boat, he catches nothing on his own strength, right? When he allows Christ to lead him. And Christ, and by the way, it's not invited. It's not invited. He doesn't say, Lord, help me, or, you know, show me, or something. The Lord is there. You could say, like, intruding on his sinful pride, intruding on his way of doing things, right? You could say that the Lord is always there knocking, ready, ready, ready. And Peter listens. He says, why don't you cast the net on the other side of the boat? And he says, come on, Peter. Come on, we've been out all night. And then he comes to his senses, and finally the words sink in, and he says, oh, but, okay, since you've said it, I'll do it. And he's surprised, you know, because of the great catch of fish, so that they couldn't even haul it in. If we allow Christ to surprise us, if we allow him to, you know, permeate our hearts and we listen a little bit, and we're humble enough to serve him, not be too proud, say, no, Lord, I need to serve you. If we are, you know, open to that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be surprised by not just the things you're asking for, or the things you think you need. You're going to be surprised like a million times. So, as I was saying, like this week, many people were talking about this question of humility and serving God. And so you remember the story of Basil. He goes to the monastery. He says to the abbot of the monastery, do you have any saints here? And the abbot says, yes, you know, Holy Father, we're all trying to be saints. We're all trying to be close. Yeah. Shh. He said, do you have any saints here? He said, yes, we do. We have one. In other words, he snapped to it. He went and got that guy. And he brought him there. And St. Basil says, okay, wash my feet. And without hesitation, he washed his feet. And then, here's the part. Now, let me wash your feet. And without hesitation, let him wash his feet. And that's what Basil said, remind me, come into the altar tomorrow and remind me to ordain you. He ordained him on the spot and he took him with him as his companion. And St. Dorothea says, who else could the holy man take with him except somebody who was so pure of heart, didn't have any agenda, didn't have any false humility. Oh, no, I can't. You're so holy. What? I will have no part with you. But he said, okay, you're doing a good job. Come in and I'll ordain you. This is the criteria for ordination, right? Holiness. And holiness begins with this kind of humility. Being ready to be surprised by anything Christ does to us. But you know, you'll never be surprised if you are in control. Well, if you think you're in control. If you seize control. You know, like, I want to do it my way. I can do this. Don't need any help. You know how many people suffer with this disease? Probably all of us, to some degree. Probably the majority of people in the world don't want to be served. You know why? It's like a spiritual, psychological thing. We don't want to be vulnerable for some reason. We don't want to be vulnerable to a million things, to surprise. We don't like to be surprised. It's sinful. We don't like change when everything about Christ coming into our lives, baptism and the mysteries, you receive the Holy Communion, guess what? You're changed again and again and again. And you go to confession, you empty yourself out. Now you tell me, if you're not changed after that, was that a confession? Was that a real mystery? Did you really like pay attention to it? I mean, things after you confess your sins, it's a great time to die. That's how changed we should be. Like, clear, clean, pure as the driven snow again. Like, nothing else matters. I've just emptied myself before the throne of God. Surprise me, Lord. Because now I'm out of my mind with grace. I'm out of my mind with holiness. I don't even know what I'm saying. See what I mean? This idea, if you've ever been married, right? Or if you've ever been baptized as an adult, okay, you get a little glimpse of it, right? You get a little glimpse of something's really different. I can count on one hand the times, you know, sort of ontologically when something significant was changed in me. But that's my sin, because every time we receive the Holy Communion, it should be like that. But you know, like when you're baptized, you know, when you're chrismated into the church. I see it, you know, and you felt it when you came into the church. You know that it's not just emotion. There's something that changes my heart, something that significantly makes me different. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And then the same happens when you're married. You're in a new place. And you say, what in the world? Where am I standing? This other person who's with me is now with me, like in me and with me. It's like so significantly different. I'm talking about marriage in the church now. I'm not talking about those contracts that they sign out in the world or don't sign or whatever they're doing. I'm talking about allowing yourself to really change as a person. So times like that, you know, like ordination. Like after the ordination, you get up and they're pushing you. They have to literally push you, like here or there. I was walking around like this. And they had to put me there, put my arm up, you know, say the prayer. So you're a new person. It's an amazing thing that anything can come out of your mouth after sacramental grace, after the Holy Spirit comes into your heart. It's surprising. But the grace is what gives you more strength, more love, more courage, more any kind of virtue to do anything, anything. But here's the problem. You know what happens? As time wears on, I remember the bishop telling me, never forget this moment when you're ordained. He said, never forget this that you have right now. Don't lose it. Don't lose it when you're in the altar. When you're like in front of the altar, like it's just as intense every time, every second. The throne of God never changes. The body and blood of Christ never change. Don't you change. See? Be surprised each time. Allow yourself to be humble enough to let the grace of the Holy Spirit come upon you each time. Each time you receive the Holy Spirit. Each time you say a prayer. Like even if you say one Jesus prayer with like the expectation of the kingdom of heaven cracking open on top of you. Even if you do that, Christ will surprise you. He'll surprise you more and more and more often, in fact, as we grow, like in that living outside of this world. But if you're just expecting some hope, mundane, I'm going to church today, I feel like sitting, I feel like standing, maybe I'll go to communion, maybe I'll, you know, I don't like the music, I like the music. What happened to the lights? Well, yeah, and, you know, what's for lunch? You know what's going to happen? Well, nothing. Absolutely zero will happen. Why? Because you're not anticipating like this with the joy and the love to receive Christ. He's not going to force himself on you 24/7. He's going to be there 24/7. But all I have to do is like say, okay, even just a little bit, okay, I'm inviting you, Lord. And he crashes in there. And he loves that. And we love that, but we forget that. That's the problem. That's the problem. And Peter, you know, he's one of his closest disciples. He forgot who he was talking to. Why don't you go throw the net on the other side of the boat? And we've been out all night. Have you heard yourself saying those words in so many words? Oh, Lord, I've tried this a million times. I'm sick. Or, you know, like, the money's running out. Or my job is no good. Or, you know, the kids are driving me crazy. Or, have you heard yourself saying many, many things like that? Well, basically, you're saying to the Lord, I've already thrown the net all night and nothing has come. So now, please, catch yourself and say, but because you've asked me, I'll do it again. And I'll do it again and again and again until I leave this life. Why? Because I trust you. I have faith in you. And it's my only lifeline. It's my only like breath. If I say, yes, I know how hard it is to live, to struggle, to be in this life. But guess what? So does Christ. He went through it all. He went through everything that you're going through and way more. Right? So if he can say it to his Father, you know, like, take this away from me. He does the kind of the same thing. Take this cup away from me. But not my will, but your will be done. See? Corrects him. You know, who doesn't correct? He like completes. He transfigures what's just normal, what's just regular, what's just mundane. Because if we just stay there, we're dead. Oh my gosh, we're going to be depressed and sick, always tired, always grumpy, always a little bit stupid. Because we forgot the second part of the equation, and the Bible's full of it. Well, maybe this, no, but this, right? Like St. Peter said, I will throw it on the right side of the boat. Not my will, but thy will be done, right? And it'll complete in us that which is missing, that which is lacking. And you know what? I'll dare say that everybody who comes to communion today, something's lacking. Some of us, there's a lot lacking. And some of us, that, you know, we've done something. And then, but there's always, always something lacking. Nobody should be in that line. No priest should be in front of that altar. I shouldn't be there receiving communion today. No way, no way. Except, I'm praying, I'm hoping that I'll be surprised by Christ. And that, like the prayer, when they ordain a deacon or a priest, they say, may the Holy Spirit at this moment complete that which is lacking. Fill it up. Fill it up. So that, at least for this minute, I think in terms of milliseconds, you know, when I'm receiving communion, like, at this second, may I be as pure as possible, as holy as possible now, Lord, even though you know my wretched life. Forget about all that for a moment, and right now, I'll receive you, Lord, and Lord, the rest. You know, that's how serious it is, because all of us are lacking. But He can complete you. He can make you everything. He can make you divine. So divine that you're capable of receiving the divine. Otherwise you wouldn't be. Otherwise you'd only be like one explosion after another here. People burning up. He makes you divine. That's what we believe. Tell all your Protestant friends that. If they want to see a miracle, just come here and you'll see like day after day, liturgy after liturgy, people literally receiving God into themselves. How is anybody worthy of that? How are we worthy in the first place for Him to come and be with us and be one of us and be among us and share with us, right? Surprise! I'm surprised by Christ. Even when I read, like, the gospel, when you hear a gospel story, maybe you've heard it 100 times. Aren't you a little bit surprised each time? Like, oh, that's Christ. He's just so amazing. The things He says, the things He does, the miracles He works. And, you know, then, are we not surprised by the reactions of the people? Why? Well, of course that's Christ. Well, put yourself in that position. No, you don't have to. You're living 2,000 years later. You have the benefit of history. You have the benefit of every, like, you know, knowledge of everything Christ has done, is doing, and will do. And still, you say, but I threw the net on the side of the boat. Right? Please, my dears. Stop talking. Stop talking at Christ. You know? Complaining. I guess that's the word. Complaining about some little circumstance that's happening, some triviality. Instead, let's speak with Christ. No, better yet. Shh. Just listen to Christ. What He's saying. He's saying something to you. He's saying maybe you're not even thinking about this possibility. There's a big catch of fish here for you. Great things can happen with that kind of love and faith. And little things can happen if we do nothing. Just small things. And nothing. I'll close with this expression. Our first pastor in Miami, I remember him preaching on this gospel one time. And he said, basically told the whole story of like when he was a little boy with a little fishing pole. But the bottom line is, little boy, little ball, little fish. Big man, big ball, big fish. That's what he said to us. And if you want a big fish, the Orthodox Christian life and the kingdom of heaven that it represents, and that it is a big fish. But you have to go after it. And you have to go after it with a big pole. So equip yourselves with this. It's about time, you know, that we have grown up a little bit. Grown up to the idea that everything is a surprise, everything is a joyful possibility. And we are Christians. And if somebody's going to be inspired to become one of us, they're going to have to see that. On some level, they're going to have to see that in you, experience that with you. Okay, are you up for the task? Because now is this is the moment. This is the first day of the rest of your life. Even if it's one more day on this earth. Can you show something? You know, can we somehow make a presentation to the world that we are ready to be surprised? Not only by the nonsense that's going on in the world, but mostly by heaven. And heaven can surprise even the most unfaithful, educated in Christianity person in the world if they just give it one chance. Just like open up their heart just a little bit, they'll never be the same. And you'll never be the same if you keep doing it and keep growing in that.